Welcome to Blackhawks Insider, the official podcast of the Chicago Blackhawks, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. I'm Carter Baum, and coming up on today's episode, we sit down with Jeremy Colleton to talk about his role in developing young talent, the style of play he wants to continue to build, and his own coaching history that the Blackhawks believe makes him the right man to lead the roster rebuild. All that and more coming up on Blackhawks Insider, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It's all about the drive. Everyone loves a hat trick. Well, your local Chevy dealer has a hat trick to get your attention. If you're in need of a new vehicle but don't want to visit a dealership, check out Chevy's Shop, Click, and Drive. Shop online 24/7. Take delivery at home. It's simple, it's seamless, it's safe, it's smart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to locate your Chevy dealer and schedule a test drive today. Shop, click, and drive. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Welcome into Blackhawks Insider. Carter Baum alongside Adam Burrish, and another week, another special guest, head coach Jeremy Colleton joining us this week, all the way from Alberta. Jeremy, first off, how are you doing? How have the last few weeks been, and how's the family? Is everyone staying safe up there?
Yeah, everything's good. Obviously, just like everywhere else, we're dealing with the situation we're in, but making the best of it, enjoying some family time, and obviously looking forward to whenever it is that we get going again.
Burr, you're back. You're still in Wisconsin. How are you doing today? Not a whole lot changed since the last time we spoke.
Nope. Groundhog Day, Carter. You know that. everything's kind of been the same here, but doing good here. All good.
Well, very good. Jeremy, we're happy to have you on today. Happy to talk a lot of different angles of not only the team, but the outlook of the organization going forward. And I think get into your background a little bit as well, because I don't think everyone fully understands kind of the trajectory of your coaching career and what's really been a relatively short amount of time and just some of the things that you've done. So, first off, you said you're back in Alberta. I hear you're doing a little bit of off-season coaching as well, doing some young kid coaching of your kids. What's more difficult? Is it more difficult coaching an NHL team or wrangling a bunch of the youngsters together on the ice?
Well, I think it's a combo. It's the one thing I do notice is that the young kids, early in the morning, 6 in the morning, sometimes you got to bring a little more energy to get them going. It's been fun. It's a different, perspective as far as the game, but it's love being in the rink, love being out there, and love teaching. So it's fun.
And I'm sure it's nice having, you wish you were playing hockey right now, normally playing hockey at this point in October, but having that time with the family. I know you mentioned you just dropped your kids off before we got on this call. I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a blessing in disguise to kind of have that time, especially yet. I know it's a crucial point in their lives as they're becoming their own individual selves.
Yeah, that's one thing about being a coach is that you don't get as much time with your kids during the season. And so, obviously hockey seasons, they intersect. So, this year is a real opportunity to be around a lot. And like you said, I've been on the ice with both of my boys, and just trying to take advantage of that. And then, as you said, spending time with the family and being here in Calgary. And that's, like I said, you make the best of the situation you're in.
The last week here, Jeremy, the kind of the headlines have been the Blackhawks are going to go a little younger and retool, rebuild, all the different words anybody wants to use. When you guys kind of decided to make a little bit of that pivot or kind of be more open about making that pivot, what were your thoughts about that? Is that something, as a head coach, is that something you get excited about? I know one thing about you that everybody's always said about you is you're a real good teacher and you relate well to young players and you're a great developmental guy. It would seem like this kind of thing is right in your wheelhouse. What were your kind of thoughts when this was kind of formally announced?
Yeah, I think, there's a few directions we can take that. I think first of all, it's important that we work communicating with the fans and the media with what we're doing. I think it's people want to understand the decisions that you're making day to day, and by sort of being more open with what the plan is, I think it helps people to to be on board with what they see on the ice and off the ice and what's being said in the interviews and things like that. I think we as a team, we want to get back to being an elite team. We want to be a top 10 team every year, and we're not there. It's every year you want to compete, and this year was no different. We're trying to win, and we got in the playoffs and had a good series against Edmonton and competed hard against Vegas. But we got to be realistic about where we're at, and we're not quite ready yet to be a contender. So we got to understand that and understand what the work that needs to be done to get there. And that's, we've already been, you know, working this way as far as focusing on young players and giving them opportunity and investing in them and realizing that, that's going to pay off down the road. It might not be a smooth sailing the whole way. But even if you look at last year, I think the opportunities we give to our young players really paid off, whether that was in the second half or when we did get into the bubble in Edmonton. I think a bunch of those guys really took steps forward. And I think the other part is sometimes the adversity that those guys face when it doesn't work is what they need to reach a higher level. They're tested both, you know, mentally, but, you know, obviously with understanding like, hey, they gotta improve to be able to play, whether that's at the NHL level or at an NHL playoff level. And I think some of our young guys, it was hard for them in the playoffs because of the level, you know, the level went up. And as once the difference between the series against Edmonton and the series against Vegas, but they're disappointed in the moment. And of course we're challenging them. We want more in the moment, but at the same time, it can really benefit them to have gone through that and learn from it and have that motivation as they go into their summer training and start to prepare mentally for the season. So those types of lessons and situations that they go through, we feel that that's part of the process of what we need to do to get back to being an elite team. So as far as personally, I love working with young players, and I love helping guys get better. I love helping guys improve, whether that's older players or younger players. But the thing about young players is there's so much more there. When you have a 21, 22 year old, the difference in him, if you invest in him and you spend time with him and give opportunity, the difference in their play between game 5 and game 70 can be huge. And that's, that can really help your team, results on the ice. And certainly we're looking, you know, multiple years down the road as well. But, as a coach, you're trying to win. If you can develop your players and make them better, then it's going to help you win hockey games. That's part of my motivation for coaching is, how can we push these younger players along quicker so that we can get better results? That is exciting to me. And also because I feel like that's the way we're going to get back to being a top team again, which is what we all want.
Even looking at last year, you had several instances throughout the year in working with some of the younger guys. Kirby Dach comes onto the scene maybe a little earlier, you know, gets his 10-game trial, really surprises you guys, sticks around full-time. Adam Boqvist kind of called into action a little bit. There were points throughout the season where you had to sit down with those guys, have lengthy conversations about their game, even sit them for a game as a healthy scratch, you know, get them in the press box, look at the game from a different perspective, kind of reflect on some of those lessons. And time and time again, I think even with Alex Nylander, Dominic Kubalik as well, after that game, those guys bounce back. They score a goal in the next game. They have a much better performance than what they were doing beforehand. I mean, what kind of confidence does that give you in those players and their ability to take those lessons, take that opportunity, not look at it as a bad thing that they're sitting out, but then bounce back and take that next step and continue to elevate their game over the course of the season?
Yeah, that's exactly right. what you're looking for with in those situations, a lot of times it's an opportunity to give feedback, because typically when guys don't get the ice time they want, they want to know why, and they want help, because they want to play more, they want to have more success. And so, you know, in those conversations, whether it's video or you just kind of have a chat on the ice, or maybe it's one of the other assistants grabs them, you're looking for a response, and you want them to show that they want it, and they're willing to make those adjustments into their game, and that really gives you confidence that they're gonna be part of the solution when they do respond right away. It's like that's what you look. We want to have a team that responds to adversity, and coming out of the lineup, no one wants to do it. It is adversity. It's no fun. They want to play. And but I think almost all our young guys responded really well almost every time to those types of situations. So it is a tool you use to try to give a guy a boost. You feel like he's kind of plateaued in his play, or maybe even regressed. And it's never the first step. Like when a guy comes out, he needs to have, gotten feedback already. He probably should have had a meeting, a video meeting, and just give, but then at some point, if they don't respond and improve, then you take it to another level. So, but I think a lot of our young players use that experience to improve. And not all of them came out, but a lot, could be ice time. It could be someone going from, 15 minutes to 7 minutes, or missing some shifts, or coming out of the lineup. It's a tool to help them reach another level. And part of what we want to do is we're trying to build the depth of the group so that, that accountability can be up and down the lineup. But that takes time. And so we're trying to develop as many players as we can, so we have more depth. So there's more competition for the top roles, there's more competition for spots in the lineup. Absolutely. But, a spot on one of the top lines or every situation type play. So that's the thinking there.
We talked to Stan Bowman, and that was one thing that he brought up too. And it was very complimentary of you in that the communication, it's different than when you and I played, where you probably didn't have as many healthy scratches as I did, but it was a lot of times it was, you just show up and your number's not on the board. You're not playing that night. Hey, we want you to play a little harder, and it's kind of done. And you figure it out as you go, where now Stan had mentioned too, that the game has changed a little bit. And if you're going to invest more in young players, there needs to be more communication. And it was something that he had said is one of your great strengths, is communicating with younger players and giving them that feedback. To piggyback on that, and I think it's important for fans to kind of hear too, when you talk about investing more in young players and rebuilding and giving more young guys an opportunity, that doesn't mean you guys are just going out there and saying, hey, we're probably going to lose tonight, that's okay, and we're going to lay down, right? This is, I know you played on teams like this too, where you do have a lot of young guys in a team that a lot of people don't think will make the playoffs. And all of a sudden you start surprising some people because you're hungrier. You've got young guys that they're excited to be in the NHL. Not that older guys aren't, but there's a different level of excitement and compete and energy and anger sometimes to try and get that contract. What's your message, to the fans to say, what are you going to your team with this year saying, well, everybody's kind of writing us off a little bit. We're young. We're making a transition here. What's your message? And I think it's important that people understand this doesn't mean we're okay losing and we're accepting that we're going to lose. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. We want to play in big games. That we want to, our playoff experience this year was huge for our young players. We want to get there, but we want to get there with young players. If we go through all these games and get to the playoffs and none of the young guys are playing, then they're not gonna, we're not gonna get where we need to. So that's the balance. We're still gonna have older guys, and older guys are gonna be a big part of our team. Now and in the future, because you need that mix. But we need, you know, we need to, as he said, be competitive, and we're going to try and win every night, and we're going to, but we're going to do that while giving young guys opportunity and finding that balance. And I think that's important. And as you said, the communication is a huge part of it. You're right. I probably didn't get a healthy scratch, but that was because they didn't sit me out. They just sent me to the minors. And
me too.
So, you know, it's a lot of times there wasn't any communication. It was just, you know, you're going down, see you around. Good luck.
Yep.
Which is tough. And I found that tough as a player. Like, I was someone who I thought a lot about the game wanted to know. I wanted the feedback. And when I didn't get the feedback, then sometimes your mind takes you places it shouldn't go. And it didn't help me personally. I wish I would have, thought a little bit less about, why, wanting to know why all the time. It didn't help me. But a lot of players are like that. And so you need to help them understand, why certain decisions are being made, or what they need to do to be better, what they need to do to improve. I try to run the team how I wanted it to be run as a player. That's kind of how I approach it. If you feel like you're not getting what you need as far as feedback, then come ask. And that's our job. That's our job to give it. We're not mind readers. And I wish as a player I would have done that more. I wish I would have knocked on the door and said, hey, what's going on? Need, what are you thinking? And that would help me a lot. So let's try to have that atmosphere in the team where it's more of a partnership as opposed to, just speak when spoken to. And that's how I kind of came in. I'm sure you were the same, where be seen and not heard, especially as a young player, kind of, you're just trying to be invisible, and that's not the best for development and for guys who are trying to make an impact on the team and in the league. So but here's the other part about communication is sometimes you knock on the door and you get that conversation and you don't like the message, but that's part of life. I mean, that's part of, sometimes you need to hear things you don't want to hear. And that can, if you use it correctly, it can make you better in the end. And then maybe after the fact, whether that's a week or a month or years after, you're like, I'm glad I heard that.
You mentioned there's no, in your playing days, both of you said there's really no conversation of when you get scratched, when you get sent down, what happens. Could you, not a specific situation, but could you maybe walk us through that conversation? If you were sending Burr and myself down to Rockford right now, how do you kind of approach that situation? How do you make it a constructive thing for when a young player that can sometimes come off as, I haven't done well enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not made for this level, what if all this has been for nothing type mindset? That can be an off-putting conversation for a young player who hasn't maybe gone through that a lot.
Yeah. So when we send a guy down to Rockford, it's usually Stan and I do it together, where, after a game, we'll pull them in and we have a meeting. Cause it's a really important meeting for the player, cause it's, you're not going to see him for, could be a few days, could be a few weeks, could be a few months, I've been sent down and then didn't get back for a year. Yeah. So, that's important that you get honest feedback and, so that you know what you need to do. So typically Stan and I, we take them in and we each kind of give them our view of their game and how we see them and what they need to do to be a Blackhawk. And then we'll, I'll call Kinger and we'll talk about the player and sort of, so he knows the message that I gave him. Because sometimes, not sometimes, I'd say a lot of times when a player comes in for that type of meeting, they hear they're being sent down to Rockford and then they just block out. So it's tough. So a lot of times he doesn't even remember what was said in the meeting. So it's important that Kinger knows what was said so that he can kind of reinforce the message of what we need to see. And that hopefully that helps the situation in Rockford and we can get the player back on the rails as quickly as we can, because a lot of times guys get sent down and it's hard for them. It takes a couple weeks to recover. So, you got to manage that. As far as like sitting a guy out, it's when I'm going to sit a guy out the first time, like I said, it shouldn't be the first. You try not to be in a situation where the guy's blindsided. He should have got some sort of feedback. It's a little bit tougher with older players because sometimes the warning shot can make it worse.
Yep.
I'm in that, you're considering me in that mix, and it almost it hurts more than it helps, because it kind of rattles their confidence, and then it's almost inevitable that their play is going to dip even more. But especially for young guys, I try to, together with the staff, it may not be me the first time, but they got to at least get a little bit of a warning, like, hey, we need a little more. This is what we're looking for. And they may get some video meeting. If we decide as a staff they're going to come out, I'm going to have a meeting with them and say, hey, listen, a lot of times I try to do it. I tell them they're not playing, and then I set up a meeting for after the morning skate or whatever it may be, because again, like I was saying earlier, you tell a guy he's out and then he blacks out. He doesn't hear anything you said. And, so it's like, what did the coach say to you? I don't know. Yeah. Nothing. So we try to avoid that. And so I set up a meeting, and then maybe we'll watch some shifts or maybe just have a conversation. I just want to hear what they think. A lot of times the player knows. He knows. You let him start the meeting and he does all the work for you. And, hey, listen. Then it's easier because you're almost trying to pick him up, give him confidence, because he already knows what he's got to do. I'd say Kubalik's a perfect example. Like a couple times when he came out of the lineup, he's like, I knew it was coming. It's like, hey, listen, you're fine. We believe in you. We know you're going to go right back in, and we'll get you back to the level you've been at. But he's a guy that he's almost too hard on himself. So, you have the meeting with him and he's basically telling you all the reasons why you shouldn't play. And it's like, well, no, I wouldn't go that far. But some of those meetings, I've had a few of those where it's like, I'm actually, yeah, I do have a couple negative clips, but I almost skip them because they've already told me all those things. And so then I'm trying to build it back up again for the chance to go back in and play. And, so it's a little bit of a feel. Bulky's, he's a different example. He's young and language is still, he's adjusting to English, and I think he understands really well, but those meetings, it's not just me talking to the player. Should be the player talking to me, because I need to know they understand the message and what they need to do. And, I'm trying to build that up with him where he feels comfortable speaking in English. I've done meetings with him where I'm like, hey, just talk Swedish. It's fine. I talk English, he talks Swedish. And then that's easier for him just to express himself a little more clearly. I want these guys to feel comfortable in their own skin. And then a lot of times, maybe, especially with a guy who English isn't his first language, maybe Mattel will go after the fact, whether that's the afternoon or a couple hours later, the next day, and say, hey, did you understand the meeting? What was said?
Yeah.
Just to make sure that everyone's clear. And, but again, it's a little bit of a case by case basis, but that gives you a bit of a picture of how we do it.
You're going to have, coming into this next season, obviously a lot of young prospects, a lot of guys coming into the roster who are either 1 year into their NHL career or just getting that start. But then on the other side of the roster, like you said, you have those veterans, those guys who have won multiple cups, who have been the foundation of this team. How do you walk that line of, obviously those guys want to win, they have that competitive edge, we see it night in and night out, but also have those development moments where sometimes you have to give a certain opportunity to a young guy, a crucial face-off, or in this moment, we're going to put this line out there because they need to be exposed to that. I mean, how do you see kind of walking that fine line and making sure that everyone feels involved, everyone is bought into what's happening here, but also, like Bird mentioned earlier, you're still trying to win games. You're not just playing all the young guys. It's going to be a balance between the two.
Yeah, it's going to look a lot like it did the past year, and I would say we had a similar approach the year before. We just didn't have as many young players. You know, this year we had a lot more young players, and so it was. If you look back, you probably could see a lot of situations that we did that. And so it'll look very much the same. The difference is we'll have even more. A lot of these first, second year pros, now they'll be the second and third year pros, and then we're bringing in new guys. So they're going to get their opportunities, and then it'll be how they handle it. We'll determine if they continue to get more or if we pull back a little bit or whatever it may be. And the message to the veterans is, this is how we're going to get back to being a contender again, which is what everyone wants. Hockey is, I think, of all the major sports, I think depth is probably the most important in hockey, because it's hard. The top guys are really important, but they can't play the whole game, and they can be, a team game can really limit them. When we're going to playoff series against McDavid, I mean, if we have everyone on board with playing a team, close checking, hardworking, then it's tough for those top players to impact things because they just don't get any space. So you really need depth. And if you look at the teams that win, that have success in the playoffs, that's what they have. They have four lines. They have 60. They have more than that. Actually, they get 23 guys, 25 guys who are NHL players who can play in playoff games. And we need to develop that. And I think everyone agrees with that. When we had exit meetings after the playoffs, we talked. We just didn't have enough depth. We played well for stretches, but we just couldn't sustain it. And so, in order to compete with those teams, we need to develop young guys. We're not able to go out and sign a bunch of veteran guys ready to just step right in. And so we got to give young players opportunity, and that will, that's what's best for the Blackhawks. And those older guys are part of the Blackhawks, so it'll be best for them too, because that we can get back to winning as soon as we can.
Who are a couple of young names that fans and people can get excited about, looking forward to watching here? Obviously you can probably touch on guys like Kirby Duck, but is there any names, go through a couple names that are on this roster that you expect big things from next year? And then is there a name or two names that maybe we're not so familiar with yet that we should keep an eye out for coming into the next season?
Yeah, I think that's the exciting part about our group is that we have a lot of different options, or there's options for me to tell you that, okay, look for that guy. He can break through. And that's kind of the idea is we're not just going to invest in one or two guys and put all our eggs in that basket. And then, hopefully it works. Because not all these guys are going to pan out. I mean, that's just the nature of
sure.
business. It's hard. It's hard to play at a high level. It's hard to learn how to win and be a winner. But we have, a lot of guys got their first experience, guys like Kirby. I mean, the upward curve was outstanding. Everyone could see like he's going to be an elite player in the league. But even guys like you said, Boqvist and Nylander, where it was maybe a little more up and down, but they have that experience and they've been through it and they've been through adversity, and they've also shown that they can go through adversity and not play and sit out some games and then come back in and respond. Yeah. And that will help them. That will help them as they learn how to be pros and hopefully help us win for a long time. We think of him as a veteran, but DeBrincat, I mean, he's a kid still.
Yeah.
He went through a lot of adversity this year. I thought he played well a lot of the year, but the pucks weren't going in for him. And as a scorer, that's incredibly hard on him mentally. And I think it was a struggle for him. But he handled it so well. He's a great kid, team player, very mature. His priorities are in the right spot. And I thought he improved as the year went on. I thought he had a really good playoff. And he's going to break out. I would be very surprised if he didn't have a big year production-wise. But regardless, he's evolved into the type of player that even when he's not scoring, he can contribute. He can help us win. We need more of those guys. Now, the more of them you have, the harder you are to play against, the more competitive you are, and you can win hockey games. So, I'm looking for all these guys who we gave experience to take another step. And they're not all going to. Some of them are going to take half a step back, but the challenge is to work with them to turn it around as quickly as possible and start moving forward again. We got some guys who are going to be first-year pros, and we don't really know what to expect. Everyone reacts differently to their first-year pro. I mean, we got high hopes for Ian Mitchell. We think he's got the chance to make our team and make an impact, but we don't know. And if it doesn't happen right away, it's not the end of the world. Like, he won't be the first, first year pro to start in Rockford or to not to play every night for 20 minutes. That's okay. The idea is though that they continue to progress, and that's the focus here while still trying to be competitive and get in the playoffs.
Last one I got for you, Jeremy, is just, can you hit on the goaltender position for us? Obviously that was some news with Corey Crawford. And then what should we look for this year? You Stan had talked about three different options you guys have. You have a lot of options. You've got a couple names people know with Delia and Malcolm Subban. And then you got a young Finnish kid that, by all accounts, kind of carried a team to a championship and could be a real bright spot. What are you looking at in the goaltender position?
Yeah, well, it's certainly that's a position where there's a lot of opportunity right now. And we got three guys who we think any one of them could break through and show that, not only they're an NHL goaltender, but ready to play a lot of games. So we're excited about that, and we're not going to handicap it. We're going to let it play out. And
no favorites right now?
No, and I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the idea. We want to let their performance dictate, and that competition, I think in a lot of ways can help, maybe all three of them. We'll break through, and that wouldn't that be a great problem to have? I think in this situation you don't want to pick winners, because what if the guy who would have broke through is the one you plug in the number three hole, and then he doesn't get the opportunity, and maybe just slows the whole pace down. So we'll see. But I think they all bring different things. I mean, obviously we've seen me personally, I've seen more of Delia, because I had him in Rockford, sure. And we went on the playoff run there, and that was so. I have a little more familiarity with him. He had that run my first year, and he played a bunch of games, played well. Subban, obviously he's got more experience in the league, and he's kind of been waiting for his chance. He's been played behind some pretty good goaltenders, and great kid, hard worker, and we'll see. And then Lankinen, like you said. He's got the international success, international experience behind him. That'll give him confidence that he knows he can come in and play at this level. And we'll see. And that's exciting. We understand that it's a bit of an unknown, but we'll never know unless we give him a shot.
Last thing for me, and I don't think it's as widely known as it should be. Just your path to this spot. You're coming up on your 2-year anniversary of being the Blackhawks head coach, but your coaching career goes back a few years beyond that. And Stan's touched on it a couple times of this is why we think Jeremy is the right person to lead this project going forward, developing these young guys, just like we've talked about several times throughout this episode. Give us a little sense of your first few years in Sweden. I know you went over there to play, to try and extend your playing career, got an early concussion, kind of ended your career, and you quickly transitioned into a coaching role. And within a few years, you're able to take a team that didn't have a whole lot of key pieces, maybe didn't have a whole lot of the talent, and go from the basement of your second division Swedish league up to the top, earn promotion into the top Swedish league. And at that point, the Blackhawks were like, hey, this is a quality coach, and they brought you over to Rockford. I mean, Rockford, what was it about that time in Sweden that really helped you not only get your footing in coaching, but kind of give you that confidence of this is how you want to be as a coach. This is how you like to develop these players. And you can take a team from essentially nothing to a champion.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of touched on it. I wasn't planning on going over there to coach. I went over there to continue playing. I'd been there before as a player and we liked it there. And it's great hockey. But it didn't work out, and circumstances gave me the chance. It's a small city. It's a small market. Even in the second league, it's a small market, and they didn't have any money. And so that's a big reason why I got the opportunity. They were already paying me. So instead of going home and just collecting what was left of my check there, they had made a change and they weren't quite ready to name a successor. And so I was there and had a little bit of support in the room among some of the players. So they gave me the chance and certainly I didn't have any experience really. I played for quite a few years and as I said, kind of my idea was just to sort of run the team how I wanted it to be run as a player and give feedback. We had, a little bit of success early that first year to get into the playoffs. I think we were last or second last when I took over, but we ended up getting in and having a pretty good run. And so then that opened up the opportunity for future years. And then it evolved over time. We had probably more of an older team my second year. But because of the financial situation, like we could never afford to sign a bunch of, top players in the league. So at some point, like we made the playoffs every year and we're a top half team and always seem to be in the mix, but we didn't see a path to be in, that elite team, to have a chance to get promotion. And that's ultimately what you play for if you're in the Allsvenskan. So, we made a decision to go young and it's not the same, but there are some similarities here is that we felt like that's where we could find value, looking for young players who need opportunity, who are willing to come for the chance to develop and come for cheap. So we basically turned over the whole group in a year and went really young. And I know even that, it didn't work right away. It took some time because we did have a really young team and they didn't have any experience. I think we lost in November of my third year. We lost 8 in a row at one point. And that was tough, but I had a lot of support from the club. And we ended up, turning around, made the playoffs that year. And we went 4-1 in the playoffs. We were 4-0 and then it's a little bit different system where it's a round robin, as part of the playoffs. We end up losing the one game and we didn't get in, but that set us up for the next year. And we brought a bunch of guys back. We lost a few to the top league at that point. But we brought quite a few back and then we were able to sort of supplement with some more young guys. And the next year we dominated the second league and that was the year with Mattel joined me as an assistant and ended up winning the playoffs in Allsvenskan and beat Leksand and from the top league for promotion. And I think that whole experience was, first of all, I was treated really well and just given a lot of responsibility early when experience wise, there was really no reason to, but the club director and just the people with the club, they had confidence in me and I ended up, I was coach and GM running everything as far as the scouting and doing contracts. That was a great experience for me just to develop, just to do a lot and have a lot of responsibility and also, we didn't have any money, so we had to try to find a way to make it work. And that clearly was huge for my development as a person and just feeling confident in how I view the game. And I've kind of brought that with me here.
You were kind of, you touched on it. You weren't looking to get into coaching, but after a couple years there, you get a call from the Blackhawks. They're interested in hiring you. And three and a half years later, here we are. I mean, what is it a little, maybe not surreal is the right word, but is it a little, you know, fun to look back on just that path and a quick ascent to the NHL, but one that was well deserved with the work that you did in Sweden and then coming right over to Rockford and taking that team and an older group there by and large to the postseason in your first year. I mean, what do you think about when you look back on essentially your 7-8 years of being a head coach?
Yeah, it was certainly, I'm fortunate that the Blackhawks, they had an open mind as far as looking to bring different people in and with different backgrounds. And my path is not, it's different. And I think, a lot of it is I wasn't really looking to come over. We were happy where we were and just got promoted to the top league and had a lot of responsibility and had a really good situation. But when an original six team with tradition the Blackhawks have and tradition of winning and when they were interested, it was hard to say no. And initially, my thought process of coming over was to be around, Stan and Joel Quenneville and just learn as much as I could. Things happened quicker than I think anyone probably expected. Obviously, we had a really good run my first year in Rockford, went to the conference finals, and that was another good year for me development-wise, just to go through those experiences. And then, got the chance in Chicago, which I'm grateful for, but it was hard. it's never easy to take a team in transition and a team that's used to having success, and we're going through change in order to get back to that success as quickly as possible. So personally, it's been a challenge. It's been huge for me as far as developing and getting better and just getting going through it. It's going to make me better down the road. So, I feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like I got a lot to learn still and trying to learn every day. And I'm just happy for the opportunity.
I was going to say, you haven't really had a normal season to date. You took over mid-season 2 years ago. Obviously, everything with this past season ending early and going to the bubble. And then next season's not going to be a normal season either with a delayed start. And who knows what that might look like. So fighting through the adversity year after year. But it's going to be an exciting path going forward. And I think you touched on it and Bert touched on it. There's a lot of young talent in this organization that I think given the opportunity can really make an impact in the years to come. And it could be an exciting process. And I know it's one that you're excited looking at long-term where this organization can go.
Yeah, it is exciting. And we want to win. We want to be a team that's in the mix every year. That's what we're building. We want to build something that's sustainable and that, we talked a lot about it, we want to build a development culture, but even once we're where we want to be, as far as being a team that's expected to be in the mix, we need to keep this process alive. We need to keep developing young players and integrating them in and teaching them how to win and what it takes. And that needs to continue forever and ever. That's what we need to do to be consistent, to be, we don't want to go through peaks and valleys if you can help it. And so that's what's exciting to me. I want to build something that's the way to approach it, is understanding, like, I'm not going to be here forever. Stan's not going to be here forever, but we want to leave things better than we found it. And if you have that approach every day, we're going to get better today. We're going to make things better today. We're going to help players reach their goals, then I think, the individual success will come.
Well, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to, as I know many people are, whenever this season does get underway, seeing this this evolution of the team. It's going to be, like I said, exciting to watch. But thank you, Jeremy, for giving us some time today. I know we peppered a lot of questions at you. You even had a little back and forth with Burr, and you know, he gave you a little compliment at least. But Burr, our friend Burr, is a little self-deprecating at times, but he had himself a nice career as
well.
That was
a healthy scratch a lot, Carter. I'm okay with that.
Overly honest.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. That was great. Thanks for doing this with us. And I think we're all excited to get hockey going again.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Well, special thanks once again to Jeremy Colleton for joining us. That'll do it for this week's episode. For Adam Bursch, I'm Carter Baum. We'll see you next time on Blackhawks Insider, presented by Chevy Drive Chicago. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.